Now, you're most welcome back to the programme. Bobby here with you all the way till 12 o'clock, broadcasting from the Sky Bar at Wright's Finlayers here in Howth. Just a really, really special morning. The sun is out. We're looking out across the harbour. The room is full with retailers, business people, artists, poets, goths. They're all here and it's fantastic. Now, I wanted to meet and to talk to Paul Byrne of the band, and it's a Howth band in Tuanua. They were in this with us playing on Bobby's Late Breakfast. Paul, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, and again, I saw you on Sunday morning not so long ago. It was really great to hear you. And yeah. I didn't realise you were a Howth band, but you organise your very own Hootenanny, and I want you to tell me about that.
Yeah, on the 23rd of December every year, we have a big gig up in the Summit Inn. My band, The Guilty Party, which is my working band, as right. opposed to in Tuanua.
The one that pays the bills.
The one that pays the bills. And we have lots of guest singers from all around the peninsula. Some of them are singers, some of them are comedians, like Gary Cook from Apri Match. Also, people from all walks of life.
And how long have you been doing this?
This is our eighth year.
Right.
And it all came around by accident. The Guilty Party used to be Shane McGowan's band.
Right.
Yeah, the Shane gang. And we were due to play there one Christmas with Shane, and he pulled out about 5 days beforehand, as Shane would.
In those days, that was likely to happen, yeah.
And Tommy Gaffney, the owner, said to me, look, you've got the PA, you've got the lights, you've got the band, you've got, you know, everything in place. He says, Howth is full of singers. So I went, maybe you're right. So I just went off and I rang loads of people, and that's what happened. It started with 50 people, came to the gig, and now we get about 200-300 every year.
Isn't that great? Yeah. And what time is it? It's an evening gig, is it?
It's 9 o'clock till late.
Late, yeah. Late being undefined. Yeah. And you've got there's loads of people like Johnny Logan and all living in Howth.
Yeah, well, we had Dermot Whelan from Today FM.
Yeah, yeah.
Came up and sang with us and played drums with us one year. We had Carter Reardon come out and played with us 2 years ago. Yeah, we get some special, sometimes you get special guests, they just sort of fall into your lap and you go, hey, what do you mean, I fancy doing a gig? Like, Gary Cook was in the local shop and I said, do you sing by any chance? He said, I've always wanted to be in a rock band. I said, what sort of music? He said, I always wanted to do punk. So now Gary is our regular punk every Christmas.
You know, great.
Does the Clash, the Sex Pistols, and people love him.
So it's the 23rd in the Summit Inn.
In the Summit Inn.
Okay, the Hootenanny, organised by Paul Byrne from Tuanua, from Howth, and a great ambassador for the area. Thank you, Paul. Now, let's do this. Now, I'm delighted to welcome to the executive chair, Mr. Michael Wright. He's the CEO of the Michael Wright Hospitality Group, and he's very welcome to the programme. He's also our host here this morning. Michael, welcome. How are you?
Bobby, welcome to Howth. And I didn't realise I was in the executive chair.
You are. You're our executive today.
I firmly am now. Welcome to the Saint-Tropez of the East Coast of Ireland.
Yes. Now, you've got a really colourful business story that you actually started selling Christmas trees in Howth. Is that right? All those years ago?
Yeah, I wonder if anybody in the room here remember that. When we were kids, we went to Dad. We wanted to earn a few quid. And he said, why don't you sell Christmas trees? So in September or October, we went around Howth and we knocked on doors and asked people, would they buy a Christmas tree off us?
Yeah.
And we told them that we asked them what size tree they want. And I think people felt sorry for us, and they gave us an order for a Christmas tree. So I think we got it up to about 700 or 800 trees at one point. The front garden was full of trees. Yeah.
Serious business.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Good fun. And a cash business in those days. We can talk about that now.
Yeah, how many years have we got? Is it 6 or 7 years?
So then again, in relation to your own career, Michael, you spent time, how long were you in New York working in pubs and stuff?
I was in New York for 7 years.
Right. Tell us about those years.
Well, I grew up in the fish business, obviously on the pier in Howth, and with Martin McLaughlin and the lads, we were waiting for the boats to come in, you know, and get abuse from the fishermen. Then a few people, Katrina Belton and a few other people I knew were going to New York. I didn't know much about New York. It sounded exciting, and I went. And I suppose coming from the fish business, I didn't know anything about hospitality as such. And I tried to get into construction and walked up and down the streets of New York, shaping sites for 3 months. Couldn't get into construction because I was from Dublin. And all the unions were country unions. So I ended up in a bar out in Forest Hills having shaped one morning on a site, didn't get on the job. And I met this lady called Kathleen McNulty, and she hired me as an apprentice barman.
And was that like a an Irish pub?
It was called the Irish Cottage, so it was a real Irish pub.
Right.
A lady from Donegal, a great woman, and basically I knew nothing about the drink industry as such, so I came in every day and she taught me how to make cocktails. And I remember, you know, I'd be very nervous if somebody came in and they looked anyway odd that they might ask for a cocktail or an Alabama Slammer or something, you know. Coming from the fish business, that was a big step. You know?
I heard a good story about a guy who was actually from the construction business and went out to work in a pub in New York. And he was there on the first day and a guy came in and asked for a really exotic cocktail. And he said, "Wouldn't a Budweiser do you?"
Yeah, well, I was that soldier. Yeah.
So 7 years, quite a.
Honestly, it was university life. To be a bartender in New York is the most amazing experience. And if anybody gets a chance to do it, because you meet everybody, you meet all sorts.
Yeah,
and, it's great fun.
And you've got a whole tipping culture, and how you can earn good money, I suppose, in the right bar.
In 1982, I was earning $1,400 a week.
Wow, Jenny.
And and it was like, and it was hard work. Now you worked hard, and there was a whole tipping system then where you one in four buyback. Every fourth drink was free, but you'd only do that if you knew the guy was going to tip you well. And if he didn't tip you well, he didn't get a buyback, and the guy beside him might get two buybacks.
And what do you make of that kind of service ethic now when you're back? You know, in terms of, like, it's almost sometimes a bit exploitive in terms of the customer and it. The Americans, some of it is a bit insincere, isn't it, in terms of the service actually provided?
It's funny you say that. I'm just back from JFK. We were looking at putting a food hall into JFK, and we were in a particular restaurant, and this girl served us, and it was have a nice day and all that, you know. And the guy that was with me said, "That's so false. Isn't that so false?" You know, and sometimes it is, but very often it's genuine. Particularly in New York, you meet really crazy people in the hospitality industry, and. And you can have great fun with them, you know.
And you've got now, you've 9 outlets here. So, like, you've built up a really, really big business. You employ, what, 600-700 people?
700, yeah.
Yeah. So that didn't happen by itself. Tell us a bit about how that all came about.
I don't actually really know. I came back from New York, and I got involved in a nightclub. Actually, I went down to Temple Bar, seeing a little pub for sale, the Temple Bar pub, and I brought my dad down. I said, "Dad, I'm thinking of buying this pub." He said, "Are you mad? This place, there's nothing going on down here. There's derelict buildings."
What year was that?
That would have been in maybe 88. And he said, "Why don't you go up to Leeson Street and do a nightclub like your uncle Tom did?" He had a club called Aphrodite's in the 70s. And... So that's what I did. And then I ended up doing a bloody stream in Holt. It was a derelict building there. I hadn't been used in years. I turned it into a pub. And I remember one night, I remember being behind the bar one night, and I just had this thought I wanted to do 10 of these, you know?
Yeah.
And I really admired Hugh O'Regan, who's since passed away.
Yeah, and he was a great visionary in terms of, like, not to cut across here, but what Hugh was able to do, and you'll appreciate this, was... He was able to get a buzz into a room without spending a lot of money. A true talent.
No, he was brilliant. And he changed the face of Dublin City. He turned dull spaces into really trendy spaces.
Yeah.
He put pubs where pubs hadn't been before. In the Irish Life Centre, he had a bar under the Irish Life Centre. And he was a real visionary. And very sad what happened.
What do you make now of the pub scene as you see it now, Michael, having again built up your own business to being a significant player? Like, we're starting to see, are we not, again, the whole emergence of the New York cocktail thing back here in Dublin and even, you know, in other towns and cities around Ireland.
Well, I think because of, obviously, we've had a big recession, and I think when the smoking ban came in, people changed their habits, and there were, you know, parties, home parties. People are now, when they do go out, want a big experience, you know, they want to be entertained.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is the cocktail now, you know, like I'm looking at gin and tonics, you know, they're getting ridiculous looking now.
Yeah.
Big, huge glasses.
Goldfish bowls.
Yeah, the glass is nearly bigger than your face, you know. And generally, hopefully there's plenty of ice in it. It's not all gin. But that's entertainment in itself, you know. So that's good, you know. The big thing that's happening now in pubs is the food is a big driver in pubs. And people are going to pubs now for good food And generally, you know, generally you'll find very good food in pubs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it really is a, we've come to a situation now that if you're not really in the food game, you're almost not in the pub game. There's very few pubs now that are purely focused on drink. Maybe some of the older traditional ones.
But it's
ones,
funny, you take a pub like Kyo's.
Or McDade's, maybe.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to put it. You wouldn't even want to put a toasted cheese sandwich in there. But, like, you know, pubs that have stayed true to themselves like that, a real pint pub, they've just got better and better and better. And actually, right through the recession, they became the trendy places to be. Yeah. Everybody wanted to get back to their roots. No, listen, food is where it's at now. Food is where I'm at. We're out in Dublin Airport now. We feed 5,500 people a day. We've just been invited over to JFK and to put a food hall into JFK.
Are you going to do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And when will that be open?
It'll be 18 months, I'd say, 19 months. So, and I'm basically looking at airports. That's where I'm at now.
Rights of JFK. I like the sound of it.
Well, it's actually Marquette. It's a new brand called Marquette. But we'll tag the right in somewhere along the way, I'm sure.
Well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for looking after us so well here today, and well done on building up a really, really significant business from Howth. And yeah,
I just want to mention Caroline in Wow House in Howth.
Thank you, Caroline.
I had to do that because before I sat down, she said, mention me. So,
well done, Caroline. And Michael Wright, thank you for being a great guest. Cheers. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to SunGard Availability Services. Protecting, nurturing and growing your business with the highest levels of IT availability, resilience and security.
Yeah. Now we're going to finish with some music and business. Jürgen Squirbat is a German man living in Howth, and he's set up Squirbat Guitars, and I hope I pronounced that correctly. He makes handcrafted cigar box guitars. His son Colm is also here, and he's going to play us out on a festive blues cigar box in a minute. But I want to just talk with Jürgen and tell Jürgen, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How did a German man like yourself end up here in Howth, first of all?
I met my wife in Frankfurt.
Love.
So that's it. She brought me home as a big souvenir.
And how long have you been living in Howth?
26 years now.
Right. Tell me about the making of the guitars out of the cigar boxes. It sounds like and they look really, really neat as well. So
it came across like my son, he started playing guitar and he wanted to do a blues for the junior third. And he searched on YouTube and he found a Diddley Bow, a one-string cigar box guitars. And he said it was cool. So I said, I make you one.
Right.
And from there on, it went wild. So
where are you making these? Have you a workshop? Or
I
you
have
working
a workshop in the back of the house, like, you know.
So. And how many of them would you make in a year? Or what?
It depends. They are custom made, like, so when people order, I make them. But so
I see Paul Byrne there from Antuano eyeing up the guitar. He could feature it at his Hootenanny in the summit on the 23rd even, yeah?
I know Colin played last year on the Hootenanny too, like, you know, the cigar box guitar. So he's been established here in Howth, like, you know.
So, having lived here so long, then as a German man in Howth, would you be recommending it to all your compatriots? You would.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back to Germany. I'm really happy here, like, you know.
Okay. Well, listen. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for. I'm gonna allow Colm now to play us out in just a second. But just before I do that, if I could, I'd like to thank everybody here at Wright's Finlayers. Thanks for looking after us, to Michael and to Henri and everybody for looking after us so well. Thank our producer, John Fardy, Roisin Davis, Seifro Donovan, Paul Dunnigan here on sound, Marianne Kennedy and John O'Donovan back at bass. Now, I'll be back tomorrow with Bobby's Late Breakfast. We've got Dermot Bannon on. We'll have music from Keela. And Jonathan McRae is up next. But to play us out, cigar guitar is Colm Squirbat. Here we go, folks. Thank you again.
Got some mighty sad news, and I ain't got nothing to say. Heard some mighty sad news, and I don't have nothing to say. My baby, she left me, started me drinking on Christmas Day. Thank you. try to fetch religion, but the devil, he would not let me pray. Try to fetch religion, boys, but the devil, he will not let me pray. That's why I gotta stay drunk all day Christmas Day. She left me, she gave them to me, so I have to drink them all. Get into the Christmas spirits, if you know what I mean. I don't even have a Christmas tree in my house unless she happens to come home. But if she do happen to come home, I will enjoy this Christmas. Yes, run here, baby. Let me tell you what I got to say. Tell you what daddy gotta say. Unless you come back to me, I'll be drunk all day Christmas Day.
Whoa. That was really amazing, Colm. I'm hearing Rory Gallagher, I'm hearing blues, I'm hearing really, really cool stuff there. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and good luck. And can I just tell our listeners that I'm off now to the Eurospar in Abbeyside in Dungarvan. Yes, I'm heading off there now. I tried to get out of insomnia earlier in the week. They keep asking me back. I can't retire, but I'm doing my best. So I'll see you all down in Dungarvan very shortly. And thank you again to the wonderful people of Howth for such a wonderful welcome here this morning. Farewell.